إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد بإذن الله تعالى we began the first Fajr reminder looking at the four step process that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with in order to convey the message of this deen. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And we said that four steps is to inform, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ وَيُزَكِّهِمْ, to prepare, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ, to explain, وَالْحِكْمَةِ, to demonstrate. So four step process that is required for the understanding and the practice of this deen. And then yesterday we mentioned the issue of the resources. If you want to do some work, you need to have the resources to do that work. And the resource for the work of Islam is tahajjud. And that is why I gave you the dalil from Surah Al-Muzzammil, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this salah and gave this salah to His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and made this salah fard on his Nabi, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba prayed this salah for 12 months as if it was fard. And of course Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed it all his life, and as I said, it is my iman that the Sahaba also prayed it all their lives, whoever prayed with him. But it is not fard. However, it is a salah for us which is absolutely essential, especially for those who want to do the work of Da'watul Islam. There is no two ways about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned this salah in Surah Sajda, where He said, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَتَمْعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He mentioned the people who wake up in the night for salah, for tahajjud, and He said, these are the people who wake up from their sides and they stand بَيْنَ الْخَوْفِ وَتَمْعًا. And this is incidentally the position of the Muslim all his life. What is the position of the Muslim all his life? Bain al khawfi wa tama, between the fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The position of the Muslim in his whole life, every aspect of life, not only in relation to salah, but every aspect of his life, a Muslim is somebody who fears to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything. Everything he asks a question, anything he has to do, he has to do business, he has to get married, he has to bring up his children, he has to go on a holiday, he has to buy something, sell something, whatever he might be doing, the first question he says is, in this particular thing, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to be pleased or displeased? And he will find out. And if he is in doubt, he will clarify that doubt. Until that doubt is clarified, he will not take that action. بَيْنَ الْخَوْفِ وَتَمَعَ. And what is the hope? The hope is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. There was a sahabi who was passing away, a young sahabi. Somebody came and informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, so and so is dying. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to see him, and he stood by his bed and he asked him, where are you? How are you? And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am fearful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish me with the hellfire, and I am hopeful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Insha'Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save you from that which you fear, and He will give you that which you hope for. So, بَيْنَ الْخَوْفِ وَتَمَعَ, this is the position of the Muslim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next ayah said, what did He say? He said, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if they knew for this particular action of standing in salah in the night, if they knew what I have kept for them, it will be the coolness of their eyes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to stand in tahajjud and never to miss a single tahajjud for the rest of our lives. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the wasila and in the name of His ayat and His promises, to give us that which He has promised for those people who stand in tahajjud, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, what do you do in tahajjud? And that is the subject of today's Fajr reminder. What do we do in tahajjud? We make dua in tahajjud. Tahajjud is the purpose of tahajjud is to make dua. And what is dua? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah." Or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, dua is the essence of worship. It is the brain of worship. It is the head of worship. Dua is ibadah. And not only is it ibadah, dua is mukhul ibadah. It is the head of, and it is the brain, and it is the essence of ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah mentioned and made fard fasting. Kutiba alaykumu siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. He made fasting fard for what? To develop taqwa. He made fasting fard to develop taqwa. And then in the middle of the ayat of fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this ayah. An ayah that relates to people who have taqwa. Fasting was made for taqwa. Now you have taqwa, so what do? وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. When you have taqwa, when you fear to displease Allah Jalla wa'ala, the person asks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is Allah pleased with me? Who is Allah? He's asking questions about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي. When my slave asks about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I am close to him. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Let him ask me, I will give him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put any condition on this. He did not say, let him ask me for this and don't ask me for that. No. Let him ask me, I will give him. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ask any dua you want, but ask it with khair. Don't say, oh Allah, give me a lot of money. Say, oh Allah, give me money with khair. Ask for khair, because this dunya, you can get what you want, but that can come with a lot of problems with it. We don't want this. We want the thing with khair, alhamdulillah. Let him ask me, I will give him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put two conditions. Two conditions for the acceptance of dua. What are the two conditions? فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. Let him obey me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. And let him have faith. So dua, acceptance, condition of acceptance of dua, is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somewhere in our minds we have got this mistaken impression that we can live a life which is rebellious, we can live a life which is disobedient, we can live a life where we deliberately go against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and deliberately go against the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and yet we feel that my dua will be accepted. Of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can accept anybody's dua. I am not going to sit here and say this dua is accepted, that's not accepted. But I'm just saying that ad-dalail from the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said specifically for dua to be accepted, these are the conditions. وَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Perhaps they will be guided. The la'alla in the Quran is yaqeen. Even though the translation of it is perhaps. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, inshallah, definitely it will happen. People who are obedient to Allah and people who have faith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will guide them. We ask Allah to make us among them. Now, which was the first action that happened with regard to ibadah and with regard to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught? The first action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught to the one He created and sent into this world was the action of dua. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Adam alayhi salam made dua. First action. And what is that dua? The dua is for guidance and the dua is for maghfirat. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam, the first thing that he was taught was to make dua. And that dua also specifically, he's not asking, oh Allah, you are sending me into the world, so give me a palace. No. Two things that are being asked in this dua. One is guidance, hidayah, and the other one is maghfirah. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that there are only two things which are necessary, which are darura. A human being needs, at the level of darura, he needs only two things. He does not need health. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for health. Alhamdulillah, may Allah keep us healthy and may Allah keep us with all our faculties intact until the last day when He calls us. May Allah take us in a state of health and strength, keep us in a state of health and strength, and use us in a state of health and strength for His deen, and take us in that state, inshallah. But health is not daruri. Money, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah keep us free from all hajat. May Allah keep us free from all dependence. Let us not be dependent on anyone other than Allah Jalla wa'ala. Not dependent on our children, not dependent on our family, not dependent on anybody. May Allah keep us in a state where, alhamdulillah, we must have enough money, enough wealth to live independently without depending on anybody. We ask this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give it to all of us, inshallah. But wealth is not a darura. It is not necessary. We can live without health, we can live without wealth, we can live without beauty, we can live without anything in the world. The only two things that we cannot live with, that we cannot live without, one is hidayah, guidance. Because the one who has all of these worldly things, but he does not have hidayah, what will happen to him? And the second one is, the one who may have hidayah, he may be doing all the right things, but Allah alam, you know, at least I know about myself, what is the condition of my salah, what is the condition of our good deeds. If Allah does not forgive us, then we are in the same place. So hidayat and maghfirat, guidance and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the two darurat. Without this, a human being's life is finished. If a person does not have hidayah and if he is not forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is better that the person was never born. It is better he was never born. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَى. What will they say? They say, oh, I wish I was dust. I wish I did not even exist. Why? Because now it has become clear. The result of no hidayah and no maghfirah has become clear. But of course, saying that at that time is no use. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam is dua. And He taught him the essence of dua. He taught him the best dua. What must you ask for? Ask for guidance, ask for forgiveness. And of course, ask for everything else, whatever you want to ask. But these two, guidance and forgiveness, absolutely critical for our success. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to remain on the path of guidance. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught another dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Never feel comfortable. Alhamdulillah, I am guided. Alhamdulillah, I know so much Quran. I know so many ahadith. I can give one talk. I can give one khutbah. I can do this. I can do that. Khalas, I have arrived. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Never, never, never. The one who feels safe from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is completely and totally misguided. The one who considers himself to be free from the hellfire is totally and completely misguided. Yesterday I mentioned to you, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him jannatul firdaus wa ta'ala bi ghayri hisab. His son asked him. He asked him, he said, when can we relax? When can we relax? And Imam Ahmad said, when both of our feet are inside the Jannah, then we can relax. Yeah? He says, his son says about Imam Ahmad, his last moments when he is dying. He said, my father was losing consciousness in the state of Naza. He was losing consciousness, he was gaining consciousness. And when he was conscious, he would say, not yet, not yet. So his son says, I thought, now what happened to my father now at this time? He's saying, not yet. Is he afraid of death? So he asked him, he said, are you afraid of death? Why, what is this? Not yet. He said, don't you see who is sitting here? He said, no, I cannot see who is sitting here. He said, Iblis is sitting here. And Iblis is telling me, you have escaped me. Ahmad, you have escaped me. And I am telling him, not yet, because still some life is inside me. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted us. فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. When you are standing and watching, when the throat, when the breath is caught in the throat and you are standing and watching, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we are close to you. Aqrab, closest. وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ, you cannot see. And this is the state of the believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support him and he will guide him and will give him what is best for him. But provided we have lived our lives like that, inshallah. So in dua, ask for hidayah, ask for maghfirah, and continuously ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. Oh Allah, don't turn my heart after I have got hidayah. Ya muqallibul qulub, ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وثبت قلوبنا على تعتك. The heart is something which turns. One day it is here, tomorrow it is somewhere else. No one has any guarantee. You might feel that, oh, alhamdulillah, nothing can happen to me, I cannot be. No. We will remain firm only if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is with us, and we ask Allah for His mercy. Because we have seen cases where people have lived. Take the case of people who have gone and got misguided to the extent where they have declared nubuwat. Right? Total murtaddin. But if you look at those people had tremendous knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. They were ulama. Those people had a lot of knowledge about the deen. But shaitan took the same knowledge and turned it in such a way that the man declared that I am the Nabi, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Completely out. Instead of getting Bashar of Jannah, you get Bashar of Jahannam. So never feel comfortable with the issue that my ibadah, my knowledge, it is nothing. It is nothing. It is not even like a blade of grass. Dua. Dua is a mercy of Allah. Dua is a honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah in the Asbab al-Nuzul, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Ibn Abbas and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhum narrate, and they said that when this ayah was revealed, it was so heavy on the Sahaba. It was so heavy on the Sahaba that they went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that they fell down before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on their knees. They did not make sajda to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They just went down on their knees with the weight and the heaviness of this ayah. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to pray and we pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to give zakat and we give zakat. But now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ for what? Whatever is in your hearts, your thoughts, your desires. فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. If he wants to forgive, he will forgive, and if he wants to punish, he will punish. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we are destroyed. We will be in Jahannam. And I always think to myself, you know, if somebody came and said this, does it not sound reasonable, this claim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold me accountable for something. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we are capable of controlling, and we have control over what we speak, we have control over our actions, but we have no control over our thoughts, and we have no control over our desires. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that whatever is inside you, also I will hold you accountable. And if I wish to forgive, I will forgive. If I do not wish to forgive, I will punish. Yeah, does it not sound reasonable, this request? But what was the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The narrator of this hadith of the asbab and nuzul of this ayah, they say that the blessed face of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became red with anger, and he said, "Are you going to be like the people before you, who when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered something, they would say, 'Sami'na wa asaina'? We hear, but sorry, we cannot obey. We will not obey." And then he said to them, "Qul, sami'na wa ata'na, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words. He said to the Sahaba, "Say this, Qul, sami'na wa ata'na, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir." Oh Allah, we hear and we obey. No arguments. We hear and we obey. You order us, we do. غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا. Oh Allah, forgive us. وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. To you is our return. Now see the ni'mah and the wages of obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked this so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the words of His Nabi and returned them as His own kalam, to be recited in Salah till the Day of Judgment, inshallah, as long as Allah wishes to keep it. And Jibreel alayhi salam came with the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, the ayat which have so many, such magnificent ayat with so much of barakah in those ayats. And Jibreel alayhi salam came with those two ayats, and he came with the same words on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كلنا آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. What is a greater honor than this? And then, we're talking about dua. And then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the sahaba how to make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them how to make dua. And before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted them. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. And then Allah taught them how to make dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تُوَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا وَأَخْطَعْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ وَعَفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Amin ya Rabb. My brothers and sisters, I don't want to take a long time. What needs to be said has been said. What needs to be done must be done. The purpose of this whole program is not simply to talk and listen. The purpose of this program is whatever we hear is to implement that in our lives. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hand you the keys of His treasures. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it such that when you raise your hands to ask, He will grant before you lower your hands. This was the state of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhim ajmain. Among the stories of the seerah, there is the story of the Sahabi who came home one day and he asked his wife, he came from the masjid, he asked his wife, "Is there anything to eat?" And she said, "There is nothing." So he went back to the masjid. He prayed two rakat of salah, salatul hajah, he made dua. And he came back and he said, "Is there anything to eat?" She said, "There is nothing." So what does he do? He went back to the masjid. He prayed two more rakat and he made dua. And when he came back, his wife said, "There is something strange which is happening." He said, "What?" He said, what we call in English, the mortar, you know, the chakki, in Urdu, the thing which you grind grain, to make flower, right? She said, that thing is moving by itself and flower is coming out. And she said, all the utensils and all the containers that I had in the house, I filled them up with flour and it's still coming out. And his sahabi was astonished. So like all, you know, human beings, he decided to investigate, how is it happening? So he went and moved that thing and it stopped. Now he was delighted, obviously. I mean, just imagine this happening to somebody. Eh? May Allah show us His khudrat, inshallah. So he ran to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he told Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened to me. And he told him the whole story. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you had not touched that thing, that would have ground and flower would have come out of it till the day of judgment. So this is from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. There are so many stories. I don't want to take your time. There's so many stories from the seerah, from the life of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain, of the acceptance of dua. But alhamdulillah, inshallah, during the course we will talk about the stories. But right now, let us focus on the acceptance of our own dua. Let us focus on the acceptance of our own dua. Let us try to make our dua such that Allah will not reject it. And I want to end with one request. And that request is, make the dua that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make. And what is that dua? That dua was a dua for his ummah. Let us ask for ourselves. Alhamdulillah, Allah has not told us not to ask. Let us ask for ourselves and our families and children and parents. But who is there who will make dua for the ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Because when he made dua, he did not make dua for him, for his own personal things. He made dua for his ummah. He made dua for his ummah. As the Shaykh said yesterday, there is one dua of every Nabi which is never rejected. And Rasulullah ﷺ never made this dua. He kept this dua. And he said that this I will ask Allah on the day of judgment. I will ask this dua on the day of judgment. Not for Aisha and Khadija radiallahu anhu, for you, for me, for his ummah till the day of judgment. So make dua. The biggest sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to make dua like he used to make dua. Ensure that no matter where you are, every salah, every sujood, every tahajjud, when you go to make umrah during tawaf, when you go to make hajj in Arafah, ask all you want to ask. But ensure that you ask for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, this ummah needs dua. This ummah needs dua. Every day we hear a new thing. May Allah protect us. Every day we hear a new thing. Some of those things are of our own making. May Allah protect us. May Allah give us sense. We create trouble for ourselves. But other things are not of our making. This is the work of the enemies. So make dua for the ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your duas. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept every dua you make and to give it to you with khair. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it such that there is no dua of yours which is not accepted. The sahaba asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about dua, and I will close with this hadith. The sahaba asked Rasulullah, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we ask Allah. And sometimes we find that Allah will give us whatever we ask. But sometimes we find that we make this dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give it to us. We make dua for whatever, you know, children or wealth or so on. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, we find that even though I make dua so many times in so many places and so sincerely and so on, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give. But Allah said He will give. So what is this? How is this? Those people who think that they can just read the Quran and understand, and that the Nabi is not required. La hawla quwwata illa billah illa lillahi al-azim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there are three kinds of du'as. He said one is a du'a which you ask and Allah will give you. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, Allah gave it to you. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a second kind of dua where you ask, but Allah does not give that to you. But instead of that, at that time there was some calamity, some accident, some tragedy that would have befallen you. But because of your dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves that. So that does not happen to you. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is a third dua which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps with himself. He doesn't give it to you, he keeps it with himself. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the meaning of which is, he said, on the day of judgment when you are presented before Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you these things. He will say, oh my slave, you asked me for this, I give it to you. And this other thing you asked me for, and on that day Allah will show you what calamity was to befall you. You were driving on this road and there was this truck coming from this side, and you would have met that truck, but Allah changed it. So Allah will show this. And He said, you asked this dua, and for because of this dua, I removed this calamity from you. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, oh my slave, you asked this third dua, I did not give it to you. And at that time in your qadr, there was no calamity. That dua I have now with me. Now ask me what you want and I will give you. And having explained this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you understand the reality of what I am telling you, you will wish that all your life you keep making dua and you do not get anything in this world. Every day you make dua, but you do not get this dua in this world. All of those duas will be with Allah, and on the day of judgment, Allah will say, now tell me what you want and I will give you. What is the value of that? Tell me. And the reason I want to end with this, and I have narrated this hadith, is because sometimes we lose hope. Sometimes we lose hope. Sometimes we get discouraged. Oh, I'm asking Allah for so much. Many people ask this question. He said, why is this ummah in this state? People are making dua in the haram and this and this and this. Why is this? Why is this? No, there's no why. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is best. So we make dua because dua is ibadah in itself. We don't just make dua to get things. Dua itself is ibadah. And therefore, we get the reward of the ibadah irrespective of whether that dua is accepted or not accepted. And secondly, we make this dua with this yaqeen that inshaAllah al-musta'an, if it is good for us, Allah will give us. And if it is something, because we do not know what we ask, if it is something which may not be good for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep this dua with him. And on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, tell me what you want and I will give you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of us to have at least one such dua with him, inshallah, on the day of judgment, where he will give us, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and to accept your coming here and to accept your ibadat and accept your du'as and to open the doors of his mercy and his forgiveness and to open the doors of his ilm and open the doors of understanding so that we can get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to draw us close to himself. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.